To this new year, I realized that we're going to need some extra tools this year. Big changes are happening. We may like them, we may not, but we got to live with them. So I figure since we have to live with them, then we should have the very best tools that we could possibly require. And there is no greater tool than the power of God. Because when all else fails, there is nothing else but God. And so last night, we cleared away the stuff that we no longer wanted, the stuff that would not serve us in this new year. Because you see, a new year is a new beginning. And the interesting thing about this year, it is a one year. So it really is a new beginning. And so getting rid of the things that have tripped us up, caused us pain and suffering, have kept us from rising to our highest possibilities, is a great way to prepare for not really knowing what's going to show up. But you see, one of the things that causes us to live it new exactly like the old is that we bring the perceptions, the beliefs, and the meanings that we had in the past, and we imprint them upon the things that are happening in our lives now. And so, as a new year is a new beginning, and as at the depths of our soul, it is our desire to move beyond the challenges, the circumstances, the belief systems, the doubts, the fears that we've been holding on to, which created the situations from the past, and we no longer wish to project them into the future. Because doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is insanity. So we don't want to do it the same way. And in order to do it differently, we have to dig deeply within us to discover this new me that is coming forward to show up now. To develop a connection and a relationship with this new me that is coming forward to take me on this new journey. And so I'm using today, because we are going to do a white stone ritual toward the end of the message, and I'm using a scripture from Revelation, which I'm going to ask Ted to read for us, because I have a new adventure in that I left my glasses at a friend's house last night, and these will only get me so far through these notes. So rather than give you a made-up scripture, Sheilaism, Ted, who will be doing some other reading for me through the message, is going to read the real one.
Scripture from Revelations 2:19. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who received it, receives it.
So the new name is a new nature, a new way of being. In metaphysics, name represents nature. Whenever you see a name change in the Bible, it is because there has been a great change in the nature of that character. And so they receive a new name that is more in keeping with who they have become or who they are becoming. And this scripture is from the book of Revelation when John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Now, in these days, we call it in prison, but he was in exile. And he was receiving these powerful messages from the Christ of his being. He had deep spiritual experiences that brought powerful visions, deep insights. And there became a point where the Spirit of the Christ began to dictate letters to him to go out to the churches that had been planted around Europe and other places. And this scripture was written to the church at Pergamum. Now, Pergamum was an area that was beautiful, lots of art. They were very much into art. And planting a church there had its challenges because they also did a lot of pagan worshiping. They worshiped many different gods, Baal being one of them. And so what was happening in the church with John being in exile and with other disciples not being able to get around to all the churches that were being planted, these messages were coming in order to say to them, this is what I appreciate about you, but this is where I have some problems with the way that you are being. And so this particular scripture is saying to the Pergamum church that I know that you love beauty. It's a longer letter, so if you ever want to read it, go to Revelation. There's beauty around you. I know that you're good, and I know that you are making great attempts to be faithful. However, he says in one part of the letter, it has been said that some of you are worshiping God and other idols, pagan idols. And when he comes with the, for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, he is saying, if you are willing to hear the presence, the voice of the presence of God, and if you are willing to see the truth in all things, what will be brought to you will be the hidden gifts, the gifts that you're not able to see right now, the gifts that are not coming your way because you're focused on the wrong things. You're looking in the wrong direction. And to hear the still small voice of God leading, guiding, and directing you on your way to live a fulfilled life. And the hidden manna, that's the hidden messages of God. That's the inner wisdom, the inner guidance. So if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, we will be able to tap in to that hidden wisdom, that inner guidance, and then we will make our journey in such a way that it works, that what we are experiencing, what we are seeing is the direction for our individualized, perfect life that God has created as a blueprint within our consciousness. But we have to be willing to look away from the things of the senses, from the things, the chaos, the disorder that is happening on the planet. We must look beyond it and see the works of God in the process. There is something bigger going on. It may look scary. It may look like it's against us. As we said earlier in Denise's arrival, nothing and no one can be against us through the eye of the storm. Nothing and no one is against us. And if we are able to walk through this year with that understanding, it doesn't matter what comes out of Washington, D.C. What matters is what comes out of us. And so what we want is that new name. We want that new nature. We want our beingness to be in alignment with the truth of God, not the truth of Washington, D.C. We want the manifestations that come about as a result of our beingness to be what God wants to see happen on this planet, not Washington, D.C. And so if we take on our journey in the manner in which God has instilled it within us, we can change the world. We have that kind of power. We are on the threshold of a critical mass of higher consciousness. We are very close. So the more we take on truth and leave the other stuff aside, the closer we get to that shift in consciousness that will transform the entire world. And so what we want to do today is to give each of us an opportunity to receive the message from God, to understand that secret message that is for us. And I've asked Ted to read from Dr. H. Emily Cady's book, Lessons in Truth, on the White Stone Ceremony. And this is done at Unity Churches worldwide.
The secret place of the Most High. To possess the secret of anything gives one power over it. This personal, conscious knowledge of God in us is the secret that is the key to all power. What we want is the revelation to us of this marvelous secret. What will give it to us? Who can give it to us? To that except all higher self, the spirit of truth, which proceedeth from God within. That's from John 15:26. Surely none other, that which God would say to you and do through you is a great secret that no one on the face of the earth knows or ever will know except yourself, as it is revealed to you by the Spirit that is in you. The Spirit that God tells me is not revealed to you nor yours to me. But each person must, after all it is said and done, deal directly with God through the inner dwelling spirit. Secrets are not told upon the housetop, nor is it possible to pass this, the greatest of secrets, from one to another. God, the creator of our being, must whisper it to each soul living in the very innermost of itself. To the one that overcometh or is consciously in process of overcoming, to the one will I give hidden manna, the hidden resources, and I will give them a white stone or a mind clean white tablet, and upon the stone a new written name, which no one knoweth but they that receiveth. It is so secret that it cannot even be put into human language or repeated by human lips.
The secret place of the Most High, and that is where we get the new nature, the new name. And there is that calling that happens within us. It's kind of like the butterfly. While it is still in the form of the caterpillar, there is an urging that happens. There is a call to a higher place, to a higher value to the world, to higher possibilities. And so when that stirring happens, the caterpillar can no longer be satisfied with crawling on the ground, because it is now meant to develop wings to fly. And so it goes into the chrysalis. And the chrysalis is like that secret place of the Most High, because it is there for a time as its greatness is developed, as the possibilities for its life are revealed, as its wings are formed so it can fly. And once it has developed all of its capabilities, then it must struggle out of the chrysalis. Because you see, the struggle provides the strength to send the fluid from the body out into the wings so that the wings are strong enough to fly. And so when we look back on our struggles, or if we encounter other struggles along the way, we can see it as a stirring to answer to a higher call. That there is something greater for us to do than crawl on the ground. We're being called to fly. And we need more flyers now than ever. And so the process of the white stone ritual takes us into a momentary chrysalis, where we will listen for the still small voice. Now, you were given, I hope, a small white stone. If anyone did not get one, please raise your hand and our ushers will bring it. And a pencil, a special pencil. We good? Everybody? And a little, another piece about the white stone. Back in ancient times, when someone who'd been in prison was set free, they received a white stone to carry, indicating that they had served their time and they were free. So as we look at this small white stone, it represents so much, my beloveds. Here is somewhere where you can make it mean something. You can make it mean the greatest possibility for your life. And so whatever comes through from this time of meditation and listening for that still small voice to reveal for us the new nature, the new name. So whatever comes forward is going to be your call to a higher place. And so I invite us to settle in, and we're going to start with some music. Just relax and hold that white stone in your hand, because you're going to sing with us, but I want you to get into that feeling of connection with God, a deeper connection for a higher call. Shall we sing? Take this into your heart. Gently close our eyes. And holding your white stone and the pen, begin to breathe in and out through the heart. With each breath, let us allow ourselves to go deeper into the chrysalis. To draw closer within the secret place of the Most High God. And allow our ears to be opened listening intently for the still small voice. It does not shout. It does not scream. it whispers upon your heart. It speaks softly and gently. Touching the preciousness of our heart. And there is a call to each of us individually. A personal call. To step forward into the new you. The new beingness that transforms the world. We leave behind the old me. For while it served beautifully, it can no longer fulfill the purpose for which we have come in the old form. Who am I to be, dear God? What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? Would you have me say it? I am willing to do your will. I am willing to have this new name. I am willing to step into this new way of being. I am ready to receive my new name. Place it upon my heart. Imprint it there that I may never forget. I am willing to live by the guidance and direction of this new name. I am willing to serve you through all that it means and will come to mean. So speak to me, Lord. Speak to me now. Listen, beloveds, in the silence, for the name that comes. And when it has come, when you hear it, gently open your eyes and write it on the white stone. And then rest in the stillness as others receive their name. Listen. 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 As it comes, write it upon the stone. It may be a word, it may be a name, it may be an idea. If nothing comes, don't feel any stress. It will come. It may come later, but it will come. Trust God. Trust your divine self. Your new name is emblazoned across the heavens. Let's sing it.
Here I am, a vessel to be used, whatever Spirit needs of me, I will be.
Take a deep breath and exhale. You have received your personal guidance from God. It is yours and yours alone. No one else has that nature, that name, that guidance. If it did not come, take time at home to go into the silence and simply ask the question on your handout. I put some steps for doing it at home. This is also something you can do for a situation that shows up in your life. You can ask Spirit to name it for you with a new name. So I would like Ted to read something from The Long Journey Home.
And this is also from our beloved Sheila, authored by Sheila. And reading from Chapter 4, Accepting Our Divine Purpose. Accept your assignment, determine your soul's purpose, and begin living from it. From the Prodigal Son, Luke 15, 16, 17. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but where am I dying of hunger?" He came to himself. What does that mean? Everyone comes to themselves at some point in their lives, maybe more than once. So here again, this parable hits home, doesn't it? Begin taking ownership of your purpose and take one baby step at a time, stepping into it. If the voice begins the litany, just say, "Thank you for sharing," and keep moving forward. Once we come to ourselves, what Charles Fillmore calls the upwardly progressive movement of spirit, takes over and begins guiding us more deliberately toward the purpose for which we have chosen this journey. We have left the safe harbor of our spiritual home and have begun experiencing the ups and downs of life in this human plane, which that has catapulted us into an awakening of who we really are in the midst of the pain and suffering. And now we must make our way home again. But returning home does not mean we are seeking to escape the human experience. It means we begin to experience it consciously, aware of the truth of our being. That is the true purpose of the journey.
So I salute you as you begin this new journey, this new beginning of this year. I charge you to stay focused on God, to increase your prayer and meditation time, to stay centered as much as possible, even though the pulling may happen from one side or the other. Keep our eye on God. Align with the will of God. And those things that threaten our peace and our joy, our safety, our contentment, our prosperity, our wholeness, will fall away into nothingness, returning to the sea of nothingness from which they came. Hold dear to your heart your new name, your new nature, your new charge. For you are the beloved of God, in whom God is well pleased, and it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. So I have an affirmation on your handouts, and I think we have it on the screen as well. I invite you to say it with me together. I step forward on faith and fold it in peace. One more time. I step on faith, enfolded in peace and surrounded by love, as I joyfully move for the higher call to more brand new me. A what? A brand new me. A what?
A brand new me.
I don't hear you.